Blog Talk Radio.
They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Johnson.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Today, I'm going to be talking about racism and its deep roots in America and how Black Lives Matter is still fighting Jim Crow. Now, before I get started, just want to go over a few news events. Yesterday, I had stated that my governor tested positive for coronavirus before meeting with Donald Trump, and later he had two more tests that they said were negative. And so apparently he's going to be retested on Saturday. There are a few different tests going on out there. The ones that he had that were negative were a PCR test, and the ones that he had before meeting with Trump on the tarmac was an antigen test. And those tests are a bit different in their degrees and sensitivities. So I'm going to be interested to see how the things play out come Saturday. It's still, you know, America is still a real hot spot for COVID. We're still seeing about 60,000 cases a day. We're losing about 2,000 Americans a day. It's pretty graphic and gross over here. Mitch McConnell and the other senators absolutely will not negotiate with Nancy Pelosi and the House. So a lot of Americans are in dire need right now and hurting, and that's an ongoing battle. Mitch McConnell went home early for the weekend because apparently the plight of the American worker is not his issue. What is his issue is re-election and shoring that up. He's currently tied 44% to 44% with Amy McGrath. So it's going to be an interesting race. The lead up to November is going to be pretty volatile. News did come out. I know that there was an article yesterday posted about Kanye West and his attempt to run for presidency. And in that article, it did talk about the fact that he knows that him running for quote-unquote president, because at this point he can't take on a political party or a political side. He has to run as an independent. And for many states, it's too late for him to actually get on the ballots. So what he's doing is he's running as an independent, and when he was asked the question about whether or not he understood that this would take votes from Biden, he said he knew that it would. So whether or not this is a devious plot on the behalf of Republicans who just want to mix in and try to steal votes away from Biden remains to be seen. But I think it is, and I don't think it's going to work, because a lot of people, you know, when I was asked to sign the petition, they had told me that a lot of people said what I said. I think he's nuts and he doesn't belong on the ballot. So we're going to see how that plays out. But I do have a guest, and I want to say hello.
Hello, Earthling.
Hello. Welcome to the Pink Atheist.
Hello, this is Travis.
How you doing?
This is Travis. I'm wonderful. I listened to you about talking about Kanye. Look, first of all, why is anybody acting like Biden? Is everybody going to just run and vote for Biden? Biden has the same problem that Hillary had, which is he can't generate love. You know what I mean? Neither one of he can't generate 70 million people to go leave their house and come vote for him. How's he going to do that?
I think he can, and the reason is really? Because of all of – yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I pay attention to politics every day and all the time now, and I do think that Biden is a wonderful man, okay? And I think that the one thing that we don't see in him is he doesn't stir the passion like Barack Obama did. Barack Obama was fresh blood. He was a good man. He had all the great platforms. He really was a game changer. And Washington needs to see more of that. But unfortunately, that's not the crowd that Washington tends to draw. But Biden is a good man. He definitely has a history of some volatile things, but mostly when evidence is presented to him, he changes his platform, which is what you should want in a politician.
Yeah,
and with
my problem in general, Rachel, Dick Gregory, old black comedian, said, if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're evil. He said it like this. He said, if you have the choice between someone who rapes once a week and someone who rapes once a month, who are you going to pick? Neither. Right?
Okay.
That's a problem when you got such a jerk in the office.
But
like,
I don't,
you get rid of him.
I don't think Biden is evil, though. I mean, when you talk about evil, let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about what he's doing to minority communities. You know, that is
right.
Evil. That's out and out evil. And if it was Trump versus Trump, I would stay home. But we're not
right.
Talking about that. We're talking about the entire future of America. And while I don't agree with everything that Biden is and what he wants to do, I would say that he is able to be pushed towards a new platform, which isn't something that we can say about Republicans and especially Trump. Trump loves his racist base, and he's all about them. And the difference between what they're selling and what we're selling is that, yeah, Biden will talk to you. Biden can be moved. He has changed his mind on things, and he has made his mistakes. And I'm not saying that the black community has to forgive him for those mistakes, but I'm saying that also let's don't shut the doors and not give him a chance to show that he can initiate change. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, but he got to show he can generate a crowd first, doesn't he?
Well, it's kind of hard in the middle of a pandemic to draw a crowd unless you want to kill them.
Right. And so maybe, just maybe, that's the reason for the pandemic in the first place. So people don't congregate, look at each other, and just go, Biden? Really?
Well, no,
you know?
No. Now, let's don't take it there because, you know, no one plays a role in what things in nature are going to mutate and then do to the human body. I mean, you can't really control that. You couldn't control all the previous plagues that we had. I mean, the only way that there was control was if Trump and his administration had followed the plan that they had been left by the Obama administration.
If
they had followed the 62-page book that they were given on dealing with a plague, we would be perfectly fine right now. And Trump has no problem doing going out and talking to people and gathering crowds even during a plague. He's willing to let people die. I respect Biden because he's not.
I agree with that, but, you know, my problem with some of the Democrats is...
You sound like you're in a windstorm.
Okay, let's go ahead. I had an air conditioner on because it's hot in the car. I mean, is that better?
Sorry about that.
Yes. No problem.
Well, you know what? I could talk about this all day, and I have talked about it before, but what I want your opinion on, and now I can hear myself backfeeding.
Okay, go ahead.
What I want your opinion on is you're currently at a Black Lives Matter rally, and I want you to talk to me. Okay. So how's that going out there? Is everything pretty calm and collected? Are the police leaving you guys alone?
Well, they were. I went down there to what they call the chop for about 50 hours. And I went down there full-length Darth Vader outfit and to protect myself because Darth Vader is the only black thing biggest respect. They either want to be him or have him on a leash. Okay? Because he's a planet-killing, child-killing monster. And I made a new character, which is Art Vader.
Yeah.
An alternative universe Vader that never killed any kids. Because I can do the voice. You're listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast.
So so it's pretty calm, and the police are the police dressed in all their riot gear, and they're ready for, you know, the taxi guys. They be calm.
They were for a while. They kind of left the protesters alone for about a week. And then all of a sudden, all the protesters kind of got swapped out. And somebody said that they got swapped out by feds. So I didn't go back down there anymore. Because I didn't want to get kidnapped. I didn't want somebody to spray me with Corona 2 or Mace or worse. But my thing about the protest was, what are you doing? Okay, so what's the plan? Is there a plan? Are we just, look, I didn't even watch the George Floyd thing because I knew that if I watched it, that I'd turn to the Hulk for about a week.
Understandably, I did watch it, and I can tell you that the only thing that you missed was something that makes you feel so helpless and at the same time just so enraged, because I mean, it's 8 minutes on his neck.
8 minutes and 46
seconds. I cannot imagine somebody on my neck for a minute, let alone this man begging for his life and ultimately his mother during 8 minutes of suffering, because it probably felt like hell and eternity.
It was horrific. Look, the poem that I read as Vader down there was this. I said, nearly 60 years past, King Dream, free at last, yet and still against King's will, 400 years and oceans of tears. We tilled your soil and picked your fields. We built your cars and milled the steel. We danced and sang, enriched your lives. At every turn, we felt your knives. We fought in wars, defending rights we were never given. With all we've done to make things better, we're just barely living. Today we grieve the void of a black human being, George Floyd, whose fatal sin was his dark skin. Same old story again and again. His life taken by those sworn to protect and serve. A travesty no family should expect nor deserve. With a lack of empathy and no hint of sympathy, Mr. Floyd's life was snuffed out and taken in an evil blur as he cried for his mama and called his killers sir. We must stay strong and get along to build a better land. If we remain divided and hate each other, our nation will not stand. And I just walked away.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And that's my topic today. You hit on a lot of the things that I want to talk about as far as racism and the roots in America. You know, you live your life as a black man, and,
It's horrific. Let's think of it like this. Let's break it down really simple. First of all, nobody's white. White was maybe in a court case in Virginia like 1691. It's just not be black. No one can leave here and go to Ireland and be like, hey, y'all, I ain't Irish no more. I'm black. Like, let me get out of here with that. Could you imagine somebody going to Russia and be like, hey, y'all, I ain't Russian no more. I'm white. Be like, take his ass to Putin. No, don't beat him up right now. Let Putin handle it. Okay? So, first of all, the Europeans couldn't agree on shit but not being black. You know what I mean? And nobody's white. Okay? White is not a color. It's an attitude or a moral choice. You got to agree to some horrific shit to sit around calling yourself white, okay? The last joke I did before the pandemic was, you know, I used to think that the worst thing anyone could say to me would have been the N-word until just recently with all this go back to your country talk, and I realized that might be worse, because if they call me the N-word, I know they hate me, but at least I get to stay.
Wow.
And if you want me to go anywhere, you better find a receipt, because my ancestors entered this country with a bill of sale. And if anyone says to you, go back to your country, watch out, because what they're really saying is, if I could kill you and get away with it, I would. It's the same mentality to try to tell some little black girl what to do with her hair without them paying for the salon appointment. You're going to tell somebody where to go without funding the trip? You're a monster. You might not know you're a monster, but you're a monster.
True. True.
Right.
And
so I never liked Black Lives Matter, by the way. I thought I came up with five phrases that were better, but I forgot most of them. I got them recorded somewhere. The first one I remember
Why don't you like that? Like,
because it's too easy. Let's say somebody's having a baby, and you would maybe want to check with comedians to see if the name you're calling the baby would be easy for somebody to make up something and pick on them. Well, I didn't say anything with Black Lives Matter. Right away, all lives matter. It's too easy for somebody to say that and be in the right. Make sense? Okay?
Well,
or somebody might say, well, all lives matter. And I would go, all lives matter where? Where do all lives matter? Okay? Not here. Not in this country. You ain't seen no example of that. When? Okay? Now, I get the people love it and they're all into it now, but I never liked it. I thought it was corny. Okay? I thought that maybe
I kind of understand it because it's how you're perceived. You know, when people look at you, they just see a black face. They don't see a human. I'm not saying everyone. I'm saying racist. When racists look at you, they
people,
see a black
yeah.
man. They don't see a person. They don't see
a human being
with a full
human,
life
yeah,
and full potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I understand it because it's a reminder to white people to don't dismiss us as just a black person, but a life. And we do actually matter. It's like saying, look at my humanity. It actually does exist to me. And that to me is an important message. But I'm a white girl. And, you know, I'll never live the life that you're living. So from my bubble, you know, because I know I have white privilege. So from my bubble, it's just a reminder. And I think that that's what irks racists so much, is that they're reminded that it's not just a black person that they can dehumanize and strip away their humanity,
but it's
a black life.
This? But how about this? How about we look at it like this? A lot of times, people will pretend like they don't know what you're talking about, even though they do, okay? And you really got to look at all of this and be like, okay, we're in the year 2020, still talking about stuff people were rights you were begging for in 1955. So, like, with this George Floyd thing, mm-hmm. like, some people, I've watched people argue about this. Like, somebody might bring up what maybe George Floyd did in his past. And I'm thinking to myself, the person who executed him in daylight didn't know none of that shit. You know what I mean? They didn't know that. So how are you starting there? Right? Same thing.
And what does
if somebody
it
brings a
anyway?
Trayvon, it doesn't matter because somebody
That's
was executed in daylight.
That the white person killing them is a completely innocent human being who's never done anything. But looking at the cop's background, he has his own shady history to look to. He's had problems on the force as well, complaints against him. So it's looking at what the person who's dying has done, but not looking at what the person who's killing him has done. So like saying that
right
equals right.
Exactly. So how I explain white privilege is this, Rachel. I think this might help. You might want to use this as an example. I said, look, white privilege is not some good you get because you're white, is just a bad you don't get because you're not brown.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Right?
Okay, it ain't.
You don't get no. To me.
Yes, because I know you understand. We're just telling that to your audience, right? So it's not like.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, it's not like some special good you get from being white. It's just a bad you don't get because people know you ain't black. Right?
Well,
so,
I know that. I've gotten stopped, okay, and I've been condescending with the officers. One day I got pulled over and I had a migraine, and this officer, I was literally as snarky as I could be to him because I had a migraine. I just wanted to go to the store, get my stuff, and go home, and I was rude. And this officer took it like it was nothing. But had I been a black woman, I realized that could have ended with my death. I totally get it. It's all the stuff that I don't have to in my everyday life.
Really someone really similar to that. There are black people who could have been mean to black there could have been a black person who a white person could have been mean to them and they wouldn't say nothing. But a black person being mean to them, they take offense. It's the same thing. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know who you can respond to however you want. And you don't go into that zone with certain people. Like, for instance, if I'm in a party and I'm on a couch with a guy who I know is an MMA fighter, I know not, there's lots of zones I can't go into with him. He can kick my ass, right? Because he got skills, fighting skills, okay? And, but if and then there's like a flip on that, which is, but then if you're not afraid, then you can say whatever you want, right? So I like to live my life not afraid. So as a orator or a comedian, I don't care what you think about what I said, okay? Because I'm not a bully, but I'm a bully slayer, right? So I'm 6'7", 300 pounds. So if I'm not bullying people, then nobody gets to bully people around me, right? And if I am verbally aggressive to a bully, in my head, I'm being as kind as I possibly can to that bully's next potential victim. Because then that bully don't know whether or not somebody else is going to pull his card or check him for being a bully. It kind of makes him tippy toe a little bit. You know,
but it seems that with the cops, they take it as a challenge. They just bring more police and they get more physical. But the problem in this nation is that, you know, my headline said that we're still living with the effects of Jim Crow. And it's true. If a black person starts saying anything that a cop feels, quote unquote, threatened by, then they just call more cops. And next thing you know, you have five cars, you have six cops, you have guns drawn. You have a person who hasn't actually physically done any harm to the police, but the police are absolutely ready to murder him within a second. And that's the outcome of hundreds of years of teaching.
Right. And so it's training. So think about this. If this person could quickly execute in public, in daylight, somebody black for a traffic violation, but meanwhile could arrest a armed person who just murdered some people at a church. And it's like on purpose. You know what I mean? It's like so on purpose, there's nothing even to say about it, but just to point it out. And I appreciate you greatly because when you argue on your own issues, you sound like you're whining, right? But if somebody else can advocate for you, they can do it a little bit better, right? So you, as someone who looks like a Caucasian person, when a bigot sees you talking righteously, that slows that bigot down from being loud because they don't know if somebody like you is going to be in their hearing next time and call them out on their shit.
Absolutely.
Stuff. Okay? That's how I think.
I have to tell you this. I don't know if you're on Twitter, but there was a video on there, and it was a black man, and he had been pulled over because he had just got a new car. And so he had, of course, his temp tags on his car, not his license plate. So the police pulled him over with these temp tags and said, "Where's your license plate?" And he explained. And so, of course, the cop is going to check because what else do they do except for try to make it look legit. So he said that while he was waiting on the officer, he turned his head and there's a white woman in a car and she's got her phone up and she's looking terrified and she's filming. So apparently the entire time that this police officer was back there checking the license plate, the temp tag, as it were, she's sitting there recording. So the cop comes back and he says, "Okay, you're all good. You can go." And the white lady looks at him and she puts a thumb up and he puts his thumb up to let her know he's okay and goes. And so I'm just trying to follow that kind of example and be a good ally. You know, I know that I can never walk in your shoes, but I can tell people, "Hey, stop what you're doing," because they have a point. Don't be cruel and mean to people just because you're not like them, because you haven't lived their life.
I agree. Well, you walk in my shoes, I wear size 15, and you look like a clown wearing my shoes. So let me, I'll call you back in a few minutes, okay?
Sure. Okay, sounds great. All right. Bye-bye. So as I was saying that I wanted to talk about these topics, and as you can see, I'm going to continue to discuss them. Racism in America is a major problem. We have people living here who have worked hard, and their ancestors worked hard, and they lived and they survived through the Jim Crow era. And those people today still don't have the level of justice that people like me, white America, does. And I see this, and I do come from a place of privilege, and I understand that privilege. And I want to tell you that it's important to make these changes in this generation, because we don't have more time. We can't send more Black Americans to jail and silently be okay with it and say it's all right. We can't keep calling them thugs and criminals. We can't keep hurting Black America. When it comes to housing discrimination, it still exists. When it comes to job discrimination, it still exists. You know, studies have found that schools are actually more segregated today than when they were desegregated in the 60s. And that is a product of the fact that Black people don't want to have to attend the same school as the bigots and racists. And the white people have moved more into the suburbs and away. So schooling is farther out, and they've built new schools, and they've resegregated themselves away from the inner cities where Black people are majority of the population and they are poorer. That's the people that are the essential workers right now. That's the people that we're putting on the front lines. And as I said last week, Trump understood this when he decided to call off the care about the pandemic. And now I think that the one of the things holding up a pandemic, a new act, is actually that they don't care. They think that this is Black America suffering, and they're more than willing to let them suffer. But we're going to have millions of people who are homeless in this country, and a majority of them are going to be our minorities. We want them to have jobs. They don't want them to be on welfare. They don't want them to have child care. They don't want them to have all of the stuff. We are reliving the 1950s all over again. Jim Crow laws may have been stricken from the books, but they weren't stricken from the hearts of the people enforcing them. They still exist to this day. They are enforced through the children and their parents, their grandparents' actions. And we see it in the policies of this country. We see it in the way that minorities are treated in this country. We see it all over the place. So it's easy to say that civil rights was passed, but there are ways that are to get around something without doing it illegally, without making it quite obvious. And one of those major places is in our police station. When you give them carte blanche to exercise the right to murder people in the street, and you can call it killing, you can call it self-defense, but self-defense has become a blanket statement for the police to do anything to a civilian. And then you have people like Trump point out that, well, white people are killed by police too. First of all, it should never be acceptable to kill a person. But Black people make up 25% of the population. One number that was quoted was 7 Black people so far this year have been murdered by police, while 11 white people. White people are 50% of the population. If you took the 25% of the population that's Black and made it 50, that makes it would equal out to 14 people, which is still a majority. But that doesn't include how many Black people were abused in police custody, how many Black people got no kind of justice when they went to court, how many Black people couldn't afford an attorney, and so they got the worst form of injustice, which is a public defender who doesn't care whether or not they were guilty and how that trial should come out. It's literally a charity case, and then they move on. All right? These profoundly affect minorities in this country. Jim Crow is not dead. Jim Crow is hidden, and he's hiding behind a crooked justice system, bad police officers, and now the suburbs. And one of the things that Trump was saying last week in Texas was that he was going to end the rule for the urban development to allow poor housing in suburban areas because he thinks that suburbans are majority white. He wants to keep them white, and he wants to keep the poor people out, who he perceives is the Black America. And that's exactly what Jim Crow did. Jim Crow enforced that Black Americans weren't allowed to purchase homes in certain places. And there are people who are adults today who had benefited from the rules allowing the desegregation of suburbs and other areas and allowed them to stay and have the housing that they needed, that have succeeded because they went to those funding is better because you have white America. And that schooling led to college. And that college led to a successful career, then that's where they are today. So when you set children up to fail from the beginning, when you make it so that they don't have a steady, stable home, you make it so that they don't have a good quality education. And when you don't have a good quality education, you don't have a likelihood of college, and then you cancel out the chances that they will be a success in their life. And it is systemic, and it is wide, and it is Trump rolling back that. And it affects them so profoundly. You think about the hardships that Black America has faced and all of the opportunities that have been given to them that are now being rolled backwards, including, and Blacks are not the only minority facing this. We also have rollbacks on the rules for LGBTQ. And the Trump administration is rolling back as many of those as possible. So what we're seeing is a backslide into an era where white America, my America, the America that I grew up in, makes it harder for Black people to succeed. And 20, 30 years from now, if this doesn't change, we're going to see more poor people, and they're going to still be minorities. We're going to see more abused people, and they're still going to be minorities. We haven't ended the Jim Crow era. We ended the notion that we're in the Jim Crow era. It's an illusion. Just by taking away the governance of the rules doesn't take away the cruelty of the laws or the cruelty of the people enforcing them. When you have Bill Barr taking a picture with people who are saying Blue Lives Matter, okay, which is police, and showing that where he stands isn't for racial equality and justice, but he stands on the side of the police, even though it's shown that they abuse and murder American citizens, it sends the message that he believes that police have the ultimate authority to be judge, jury, and executioner in the street. And especially when we have federal agents coming in or mercenaries coming into cities and scaring people like my friend Travis that was just here. He's talking about, why didn't I go out to the protest? Because I didn't want to be abducted, because I didn't want to disappear, because I didn't want sprayed with mace in the face. And when you scare minorities away from searching for their own justice, that's another form of the Jim Crow rule. During the Jim Crow era, many people were beaten, were hosed, had dogs attack them. They went through horrendous things. And to see that now we have Black people who want to be in the streets, and simply you can see he's just standing there being a big, tall, 6'3" guy who's just saying something that's very peaceful. He didn't come to riot. He didn't come to destroy. He came to send a message that his life means something. And yet he's afraid to go to some of these because he's afraid of the worst happening. And when a government terrorizes a specific minority of the people, that's a great concern, not just to our country, but to all countries around us. Because that is what we would call fascism. When a government cannot be entrusted with the well-being and care of its people, you know that you are delving into fascist waters, and it is troublesome.
Oh.
Hey, Big Funny, welcome back.
Hi.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Wonderful. All right. So, I don't expect people to be righteous, right? So, but when somebody shows themselves not to be righteous, I can't pretend like they're going to switch back. Okay. So, give me an example of what I mean. Well, when someone is a bigot, I've noticed that they always have some negative black stats on the tip of their tongue. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll
talk
about race and they'll bring up Chicago or they'll bring up Trayvon or they'll bring up OJ. And I'm like, man, first of all, OJ was like 30 years ago, number one. It was like 28 years
ago.
And you're mad about OJ with all the other stuff that went on? Now, in our little world of talking about these little protest things, I remember a guy, he said, when Trayvon happened, he said, what's going to happen next that's going to be big enough to get people to go protest? And it really was the George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
It took something like that. Because once you protest at one level, you don't protest at that same level over again. And even like a lot of black folks that I've talked to, none of them went down to the protest. When I was down to the protest, it was mostly Caucasian folks and young folks. A few old hippies, but it's mostly that young group. And I think the pandemic also causes this. It helps this. Because of the pandemic, everybody's at home. So it makes the protest a little bit stronger. Right?
Well, and
so I think that rather than doing no justice, no peace, we should do no justice, no sleep. And if you're an ally or somebody wants to protest, instead of going down and congregating and marching around and picnicking, how about roll through different neighborhoods at 6:30 in the morning blasting Star Wars music or maybe a Martin Luther King Jr. speech or James Baldwin speech and just say no justice, no sleep.
You know that if the Beckys and the Karens out there don't get their rest, they're calling the cops, okay? You can't even have a barbecue as a black man in America without them calling the cops. Just try going in their neighborhood. 15 squad cars will be there in like 10 minutes, and you will just be done, all right? We all know that.
Right.
America has no justice for its black members.
What do you think about this? I think that maybe black folks should litter until we get justice. I'm serious. No, don't recycle, don't litter, don't separate out stuff. And then maybe the people who care about littering will become allies. Okay? Because sitting around caring about recycling without caring about people, I think it's kind of corny. I mean, I don't think you get to go there.
Here's the deal, though. If you look at the protests that have happened all over the country, you do see a lot of young Americans, and not just black young Americans, but all colors of Americans and all styles. I mean, out in Portland, they had a line of white mothers protecting the people behind them. And when the mothers got maced in the face, then the dads came with the whistleblowers. And then you had veterans showing up as well. So I mean, I think that there's a push towards this, but justice in this nation is hard because you have people like Trump and Barr and all the old white people. I didn't know it, but Bill Barr is like he's 70 years old. You have 70-year-old.
There are a lot of young racists. There are a lot of young races out there, too, okay?
I give you that all day long. But the ones that are in power and still racist, I mean, that's on principle. They're enforcing the Jim Crow era laws.
Right, but you know, Dick Gregory said it like
under
this.
That mentality.
The old black comedian Dick Gregory said it like this. He said, when I say white, I mean rich. And when I say rich, I only mean the people that can wake up in the morning, call the stock market, and make it go up or down if they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
He said everybody else is playing inside their game. Okay? And so he said a Klansman, a Klansman is so broke, he couldn't help you if he liked you. Does that make sense?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Klansmen have been governors, sheriffs, they've been lawmakers. You look at Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has a picture of him in front of a Dixie flag receiving an award at a ceremony. You know Mitch McConnell comes from that era. And he didn't start out rich, but he sure started out racist. And you better believe that coming from Kentucky, that man probably has more ties to the Klan than he has ties in his closet to take to Washington, D.C., okay?
Funny.
So I don't think that
Funny.
All Klansmen are poor. I think that some of them are well-to-do and tied.
The majority
but
are poor.
Well, this
majority
is true.
Are poor.
This is very true. Yes.
Because, look, I live in Seattle, right? I live in Seattle, where the majority of people are well-to-do, okay? Like, the low rent around here for a two-bedroom is $1,700 a month.
Wow.
Okay?
Pretty astounding.
That's because people work. That's because people work at Microsoft, at Boeing, at Amazon, and they're making $10,000-$20,000 a month. So $1,700 a month is mm-hmm. nothing to them. Okay? And, everybody got shiny new cars. This is Seattle, okay? It's a tech oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are wealthy, they don't have the energy, time, or wherewithal to be loud and bigotry. And bigoty. Do you know what bigot actually stands for? Big idiot. And I'm thinking it's another
That's
example
true.
Of softening something. It's leave it alone. Bigot sounds softer than big idiot.
But don't you think, hold on, because you're talking about being a bigot in the street, but policy can be bigoted as well. Like the rules
Absolutely.
Around... how this country
and
that runs
policy, you're right.
Are all based
on broke-ass Klansman is not making public policy. Our broke-ass Klansman is not making public policy.
No,
right. it's the people
his
making
rich
policy.
Governor
right.
is, and people like Mitch McConnell right. are.
Here, this is
and,
my problem. Some of the things that Biden has said showed him to be not an ally all the time. Okay.
I agree.
And I don't know, how I can have any energy to be helping promote someone who's already shown that they might not be an ally. That's a rough one for me. Really,
I get that.
Look,
I do.
I get that Trump is awful, and I can fight against Trump, and I can fight against the issues, you know, by topic. Okay. But when the news thing was saying, well, all the black people are picking Biden, ain't nobody black ever said shit to me about Biden. Ever. Never. Nobody black said to me, ooh, you got to get some Biden. Now,
but here,
if Biden would pick Michelle Obama for his running mate and she would accept it, then yeah, I'm his huckleberry. But
well,
until he got somebody to come.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yes,
so,
go ahead.
Hold on. Because he was the vice president to Barack Obama for 8 years. So what Obama said was the policy of the land. What Obama wanted Biden to take care of was what Biden went out and stood for, right? So, I mean, I know he said things in history in the past that haven't always caught with the black community because he has had some policies that I would disagree with because they harm the black community. But when it came down to Obama, he stood with him, you know, as a champion. And they were friends, and they changed a lot in this country together.
Maybe.
And if that is
Maybe.
A black
look,
ally, then I don't know how, you know, because
I agree with you in principle. I agree with you in principle, okay? I agree with you in principle. But sometimes somebody said something so horrific or done something horrific that I can't get with it. So give me an example. I don't know if those videos of Biden touching the girl's shoulder is fake or not, but I know I can't vote for somebody who's touching little girls like that.
Well, first of all, you have to understand, Biden has lost a son and a wife, and this man has gone through a lot. And I think that he is a very compassionate, caring man. I don't think he touches little girls in the way of, like, touching little girls. I think that he touches them in the way of more like a dad or a grandpa. And
a grandfather?
Who has had, yes. Because on them, like, grabbing things.
I'm agreeing with you, I agree with you that the way Trump does it is so gross. Like, for instance, like Trump, everybody talks about Trump saying grab him by the pussy. Well, I didn't have a problem with him saying grab him by the pussy. I had a problem with him calling that locker room talk. Because I've been in lots of locker rooms, and nobody's ever said grab him by the pussy. Okay? Someone might have said, get some pussy, or maybe somebody give me some pussy. Or maybe somebody give me some pussy. But no one ever said, I'm going to go out tonight and grab somebody by the pussy. Because if they did that in the locker room, somebody in the locker room who has sisters would be like, who are you about to grab? Maybe we should just whoop your ass right now. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But when Trump might, the worst thing in my estimation that Trump said, and I quote, is when he said, I quote, I've often said, if she wasn't my daughter, we'd be dating. My first question is, who are you saying that shit to? Epstein or some other pedophile? Because the only person you would often say that to is somebody you're trying to trade kids with. Okay? And to me, if my father said about one of my sisters, if she wasn't my daughter, we'd be dating, I got to turn into the Hulk. To stop my brother from turning into the Hulk, I don't have no father no more. Because we would both know we are the only person in between a monster trying to date our sibling, who is our parent. We wouldn't let this shit happen for a second. If my father even said some shit like that out loud about one of my sisters, he would not be allowed around any of the nieces, nephews, grandchildren ever again.
Well, no,
ever.
You shouldn't.
You know what I mean?
But look at who Donald Trump hangs around. He hangs around Jeffrey Epstein, a convicted child sex offender. I mean, Epstein was convicted and then had more cases settled, and him and Trump were really
also,
good
the
friends.
Epstein case was there. The Epstein case disappeared pretty doggone quick, just like the Sandusky case. Remember Sandusky at Penn State? That stuff disappeared with no details about who else was doing stuff with him. Okay? Does that make sense? Same thing with Epstein.
Yeah.
It all disappeared without any details about the people who were doing stuff with him. Here, I'm about to walk into the weeds.
Well,
I can stay on the line, I'll call you back later.
Okay.
I'm about to walk into the weeds store. Have you ever been into a weed store before virtually? Here. You want to go into weeds store with me? Okay.
Sure.
I'm going into Greenworks Cannabis in Seattle. Where the weed is legal and marijuana.
While you're doing that, you could just hang out, and I'm going to put you on headset, and then let me know whenever you get back.
I will mute myself. I am muted now.
Okay. Because I have a few things to say about this Epstein thing, and I'll go over it, and then whenever you're done, just let me know, and you can come on back, okay?
As you wish.
I just don't want to be up in the middle of your, weed store visit, so.
You don't want to be in the middle of my cannabis transaction.
Exactly.
You
and trying to do a podcast, trying to get some weed.
But you,
but,
you underestimate the power of the dark side.
The Jeffrey Epstein thing actually hasn't fully disappeared. I know that they arrested Ghislaine Maxwell, okay? And now there's an interesting story there that one federal judge said that the Epstein files had to be destroyed, but Ghislaine Maxwell, who was his girlfriend, she has copies of all the tapes and the files. So while she's under arrest, she has said that, look, she'll talk, she'll give names, she'll give information. So I'm going to watch how this plays out because she hasn't been, quote unquote, Epsteined yet. She's still alive. They won't release her from jail. But hopefully she can squeal and give them information because there's a lot of important people in this country who know what's in those files, and those people exist and work in the FBI. I think that they're protecting a lot of very powerful, rich, and influential people. And I think ultimately that information is going to come out, because it's one of those things that once you crack the can of worms, you can't put them all back in. And Epstein left a massive trail. He had a black book of names. He had dates. There were tapes of people, very influential people, and what they did with these young girls. So I think ultimately we have to keep paying attention to the story, because if it doesn't, like you said about Kent State, these things tend to people want them to. They don't want those names out there because it's tied to big money in our country. You're talking about, what's his name, Prince Edward? I believe is his name. That his he is among one of the people who claims that he did not do anything with a teenage girl, but there's like a picture of him beside the girl who claims that things did happen between them. So it's going to play out, and it's going to be big, because these tapes exist, and I wouldn't personally ever want to see what's on them, but I know that some prosecutors and some FBI agents out there have seen this and do know who did what with whom and when. So it remains to be seen. And getting back to the topic, and I see that I have somebody in the chat room named Flycatch that says Biden looks down upon black Americans and cares only for their vote. And I would say that I disagree with that wholeheartedly, Flycatch. Biden has shown that he cares. He worked with Barack Obama for 8 years, and I think that that shows that when it comes to dealing with black Americans, he has the ability to change who he is, change his platform, and be a better man. But like all politics and all politicians, they are what you make of us, it's us who makes them pay attention to the policy. If we never get vocal, if we never show up and vote, if we never support an important candidate, we can never make the change happen. We have to be advocates for the future that we want to see. And that takes all of America saying, hey, this is no longer acceptable. Racism isn't acceptable. Jim Crow era ideologies enforced through other means are not acceptable. And I think that Biden cares about the black vote, because you look at the policies that he's willing to make and the things that he said to change that. He's been a part of affordable care, which helped millions of people. He's been a part of a lot of programs that have changed the lives of minority Americans. And I think that we need to give him more credit and not be so hard on him and say, well, he doesn't stir me. Obama was a once-in-a-lifetime president, and it's sad for me to say that, but he demonstrably stirred up the crowds. I waited in the rain for 2 hours to get to see Obama. I would do it again if I knew that Obama was coming to my state in an arena and I had to wait in the rain and the cold or the snow for 2 hours or more to be able to see him. I would absolutely do it. We have to be the change we want to see. And I would love to see more minority candidates. I absolutely liked Kamala Harris. I liked Elizabeth Warren, though she's a white woman. I don't really like Susan Rice, and I hear that this is probably going to be Joe Biden's VP. She is a black woman. She's not my kind of person, period, because I didn't like her during the Bush era, and I don't like her now. But we'll see what her policy is. Right now, I'm on Rescue America from where we are and what we could be as far as fascism, and move us back towards the center so that we can get more minorities elected in more areas and see the change in the government that we want it to be. And if we don't speak up and if we don't stand up and show our voices, well, how can we ever look for anything to change? People like me with privilege have to speak up. We have to say, listen to minority voices. Hear what they're telling you. Hear about their suffering. Don't dismiss it. Because if we don't, nothing will ever change. This country could be so much better, and we could be a shining example again. And I think it's sad to say that when you think about Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again, America has never been that great for minorities. It's been great for white people, and especially white males. But you really have to ask women, do they want to just be housewives and relegated to forced to do this duty and nothing else? No, I'm not that kind of woman. I know a lot of women who aren't that kind of woman. Do minorities want to be second-class citizens? Well, no one wants to be a second-class citizen, and no one should be put there. I want people who make change. I believe Biden can be pushed in the right direction, given the opportunity. And that's why I'm going to vote for him. But I don't believe he's the perfect candidate. I haven't from the beginning. And I'm more concerned about my country and it falling into the hands of fascism than I'm worried about simply I can't get overly joyous about a candidate. The problem we have is such a gridlock in D.C. where you have to have money to get in. You have to have money to stay in. You have to keep appealing to money to get reelected. And it gridlocks it from a lot of people getting in there because you have a lot of wonderful people running for office right now that are minorities that are not well known. And it's very hard to try to get that money to them because a lot of the base of the Democratic Party doesn't have money. Just like a lot of the base of the Republican Party doesn't have money. But Republicans have corporations. They have corporate masters. And this has been the wake up for, I think, the last 4 years to show how toxic it is to let corporate money into policy because it buys influence. And when you can buy yourself a senator, you don't have to follow the rules.
True. Rachel, how many senators can one billionaire buy? All of them? Right?
As many as he wants. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. And if he's unrighteous,
you look at,
and wants to control the water or poison, you know, landfills, and all he has to do is pay off a couple state senators or state representatives or senators or representatives.
And they're going pretty cheap.
Why would they do it? Yeah,
exactly.
$10,000.
The NRA bought my Senator Portman, one of my senators. He took $3 million from the NRA. $3 million to a billionaire is nothing. It's pocket change, right?
Nothing.
So it's pretty simple.
Exactly. So I asked a guy who he had sold his business for $30 million, and I one day said to him, is $20 like a penny to you? And he said, less. And I was like, thank you for being honest. You know?
Exactly.
If $20 is like a penny to you, man, and then he's just at the $30 million range, that means a billionaire, man, you could add some zeros on that. And you're right, $200,000 is like a penny to him.
Yeah.
Right? So
$2 million. Yeah. I mean, you won't even break a sweat writing out that check.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly.
Somebody on Twitter was doing the math that if you had $500 billion, right, all of the things that you could do, you could buy a mansion, you could buy all the cars, you could, you know, fill it with everything that you wanted, you could go on vacation, and at the end of the day, even after all of the spending that you could manage to gather up, you would still have $1 billion left for your life. Imagine that. Imagine having $1 billion just to sit on. I don't know what I would do with that kind of money. I would probably do some crazy great things, like help a lot of people, but that's me, you know?
But I think you can do it without
that.
Right, because you would help people.
That tends to ruin that right away, you know?
Yeah. The greed usually kicks in on some of them and barely trying to get more. I mean, honestly, I don't know how rich I would want to get because somewhere between, you know, 10 million and 100 million kicks in that greed factor. You know what I mean? And when that greed factor kicks in, somewhere along the way, you turn into a monster. I don't know where that, what that number is. Okay. But somehow you get to the point where,
I think it's,
you just want more.
I think it's not a certain number. It's a certain place. Like, I want to be so secure that I'm sure no one can ever come in and take all of this away from me. Don't you think?
Sure.
So it's not like
maybe because if you got 30 million, somebody could take it away from you. If you got 30 million, somebody
mm-hmm.
could take it. Right.
Easily, right? Yeah.
If you got
something could happen in the stock market.
Yep.
You know,
they can,
or you could accidentally go on a spending spree.
Yeah, with 30 million, you could probably, you know, get. I don't know. Let me see if I park right here. Am I going to be in jeopardy? I don't see any signs. All right. Okay. I'm at my destination. I will happily come back on your show anytime, Rachel. This is a pleasure. I miss you, and I appreciate
that
you.
That sounds great. Well, you take care of yourself.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and end the show, okay?
Release your feelings. You know them to be true. This is the Pink Atheist Podcast. We'd be honored if you would join us.
Thank you so much for coming on with me. You have a good day, too.
What
bye-bye.
A wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
You forgot I could do that, didn't you?
Oh, yep. I did. I don't know. You probably won't hear this, but I did forget he could do that. Anyhow, guys, thank you for joining us. I hope that this was a little informative and more a little bit entertaining. You guys take care of each other. I am the Pink Atheist of Patreon. I'm on Facebook under Rachel Johnson. I'm at Twitter under Rachel Osiris. You guys have a wonderful weekend. I will see you back here on Monday. Till then, take care of yourself and each other, and thank you for joining me.
They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Johnson.